Hello, everyone. Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name's Will Pruitt. I am here to cover TNA Impact Wrestling with you. Today is May 31st, final day of May. I'd like to reflect on the month that was for a second. Yeah, nothing really happened this month in my life. I'm not talking about wrestling. We'll get to wrestling later, guys. This is the me part of the podcast, just in case you didn't know. Or, as Kenny King would say, or you're just slow. Hey, look, wrestling. So, before we get into, like, the actual podcast on the show, just want to talk to you real quick about ProWrestling.net. The membership option we offer is fantastic. I mean, it's great. Let's talk real quick. This weekend, you're listening to this, you like audio, maybe you like TNA, too. All of that. You're sitting there going, man, I'd really love to hear what the good minds of ProWrestling.net think about TNA Slammiversary. Well, holy crap, son, you can! Head on over to ProWrestling.net. Click that membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Sign yourself up. Boom! Sunday night, a few hours after the pay-per-view, Jason Powell, Chris Shore talking about TNA Slammiversary. They're going to cover it in-depth, match by match, angle by angle, minute by minute. It'll be fan-king-tastic. Moving on, you also get the .NET Weekly Audio Show. That's our flagship, son. We got first-run news in that mother. Plus, you get the .NET Countdown with myself and Jake Barnett. Kind of bringing our own twist a lot of times to the wrestling events of the week. Sometimes we talk about history. This past week, we counted down our top five and bottom three Backlash Extreme Rules In Your House moments. Kind of our month after WrestleMania recap and countdown. It was really fun. So that's on the audio side, plus reviews of Impact Weekly. We do this every week, Raw and SmackDown, all of that audio, plus some first-run interviews that you're not going to get anywhere else, first-run news in .NET Weekly, ad-free access to the site, access to the .NET members forum. There are some super cool people in there, and that's also, coincidentally, probably the best way to interact with myself, Jason Powell, Jake Barnett, Chris Short, Ryan Kester, Zach Zimmerman, Darren Gutteridge, Jeffrey Lutz. Oh, boy, all of us are in there. That's all of our staff, by the way. If I left anyone off, I'm really sorry. Don't send me a message on Twitter, bitch at me, whatevs. But yeah, check it out, ProWrestling.net. Membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Click that mother. Now, I know what you're thinking. I want to pay $300 for this. Well, you can't. Because you can get membership if you take that annual option for as low as $5.50 a month. There's also a six-month option that offers a discount, but if you just want to try it for a month, you just want that Slammiversary audio, go ahead, treat yourself. It's $7.50 for the month. Get your Slammiversary audio and get on with ProWrestling.net. It's fucking great. So, that was one of the more weird and enthusiastic plugs I've done for the site. Guys, since I do that pretty much every time I do the All Access podcast, sometimes I just try to entertain myself with it with no thought of how it impacts those around me. Just so you know. So, this show, the main story coming out of this episode of Impact was the Slammiversary is Sunday. There wasn't, I can compliment TNA for this. They didn't give us the big, oh my god, moment. They just said, this was like a maintenance show. It basically just said, hey guys, we built it up for about 10 weeks. Slammiversary Sunday, don't you forget. That's what this show was there to do, and it did that really well. So, kudos to TNA for that. It was not like a, oh my goodness, go-home show where suddenly your jaw is just hanging open and you're stunned and amazed. It was just a go-home. So, that's not bad. I love the big surprises on go-home shows. I love saving one more moment, one more escalation of a big feud, especially if it's your main event feud. If you can put that cherry on top of your main event feud when you're rocking a go-home show, I'm psyched. But TNA didn't do that, and they didn't have to do that. So I'm trying not to sound critical because they didn't do a bad job. But they just didn't, it wasn't like whipped cream, cherry, nuts, sundae, hot fudge. It was like, hey, dude, ice cream's delicious. Just eat this shit anyways. And TNA's right. Ice cream is delicious. And Slammiversary has been a really well-built pay-per-view. So let's just take the show from the top. And some would say kind of the biggest thing on the show happened at the top. Because the top of the show featured in... it should also be stated, TNA was starting the new 9 p.m. time slot here. They moved back to 9 to 11. I like my wrestling a little better at night from 9 to 11. So I'm chill with this. I enjoy wrestling when it occurs from 9 to 11. None of that 8 to 10 crap. 8 to 11 is always the worst, but that's what we get for Raw and what we got for Nitro back in the day. So we start the show. Well, the previously on Impact video package, same thing, just kind of a what's gonna happen heading into Slammiversary. And then we got the Aces and Eights backstage. Bully Ray basically saying, make no mistake about it, we're gonna get to AJ Styles. Our goal tonight is to get to AJ Styles. That's our mission, that's what we're doing. And Anderson said, I got this. So then Bully kind of shifted his focus. D'Lo said something stupid. And they started, Bully Ray and D-Von walked away. D-Lo and Anderson were left, and then Anderson beat up D-Lo, like he should. He had that coming. So then D-Lo's beaten down backstage. We see it on TV, back in the arena, Aces and AIDS music. Man, okay, I think someone sent in a live report from an Impact taping last week. Either us or the Torch, it was one of them. Basically saying, so I have sat through those two episodes of Impact live in the arena. I never want to hear the Aces and Eights theme music again. Man, they use that crap a lot. Like, a lot, a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. It's a whole lot of Aces and Eights theme music. But we had the Aces and Eights theme music hitting. Bully Ray and D-Von come out. And Bully Ray starts talking about all the people Sting has beat for the World Championship. Tonight, they focused really heavily on, man, Sting's beat this guy, Sting's beat that guy. They had a video package about it, too, talking about Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, Samoa Joe. All of these dudes that Sting has beat. Coincidentally, too, this is something kind of interesting. They've kind of shifted the way they're building the way Slammiversary has been built over the last few years. If you remember, from its inception until... Or from just after its inception, like the year after. So from like 2005 until 2009, Bound for Glory was Sting's show. Sting was the Undertaker at WrestleMania. You know, Sting at Bound for Glory was the Undertaker at WrestleMania. It was huge. It's every year Sting ended up as the number one contender. Every year he won the championship. And most years he lost it before the next pay-per-view. Except for that one where he turned heel and became a member of the Main Event Mafia. And that weird thing happened. But so Sting is a very, you know, Sting at Bound for Glory used to be a big thing. The last few years, it's been Sting at Slammiversary that is the big thing. And, you know, the first year since the original that Sting wasn't in the main event of Bound for Glory was 2010 with that Angle Anderson and Hardy triple threat of, you know, WWE guys from 06 rocking it in that ring that featured the really good Jeff Hardy heel turn. Really good as far as Jeff Hardy's work, not the story going into it because that was balls. But it's just interesting to see now suddenly the Jeff Hardy show is actually actually Slammiversary and not Bound for Glory. Maybe it was symbolic then that Sting actually lost the 2009 Bound for Glory main event to AJ Styles in what was almost his last match. I mean, it was promoted like it could be his last match, or at least his last match in Southern California. It was neither of those things, but what you gonna do about it? So Sting talked about who he had beat up, basically, or Bully Ray talked about who Sting had beat for the championship, said he was gonna beat him. Basic heel promo. Bully Ray got some great heat here. Called out Sting and Joseph Park. Sting and Joseph Park come down to the ring, and that fight is on, and it was a brawl! Very much a brawl. There weren't a whole lot of tags and those rules adhered to. There weren't a whole, they were outside the ring a lot of the time. It was going all over the place. Sting and Joseph Park are not exactly the paragons of fitness and in-ring aptitude in TNA right now. So it helped them a lot, I'm sure, to have this just be an all-out brawl. D-Von and Bully Ray. I mean, I remember even back when Bully Ray was fat, when sometimes you would see on a TNA show, crap, we're going to see this stupid Team 3D versus insert tag team here, Brawl, and all this. And then you'd actually watch the show and you'd be like, that was pretty damn good. It was good. So they can fight. Like, they are brawlers. So this was a fine match. The ending of the match had a Sting hitting... basically, so Abyss's music hit in the middle of this match. If you remember last week, the story was Abyss... Well, Sting needs Abyss to come and help him. Sting needs Abyss and he's getting Joseph Park. Hey, they both weigh the same. But in the middle of the match, Abyss's music hits, and you see Joseph Park just, like, staring up in the entry ramp, like, my brother? My brother? And you have D-Von leaving, kind of looking around in the ring. Sting sneaks up from behind D-Von, Scorpion Death Drop, uno, dos, tres, boom. Sting and Joseph Park win the match. Not the best, I don't know that it was the best idea to have the Dudleys lose, but you also really didn't hurt Bully Ray and D-Von here, and I think they both get their heat easily. You know, they had their heat back by the end of the night. For as much, I mean, heat. I'm talking about Bully Ray here because D-Von has like mega heat. Backstage, Kurt Angle was angry at AJ Styles. He said literally one point that he would be watching AJ's match very closely, like literally closely. So I just thought, like, is he going to climb in the ring? Is he the special referee? What are we talking about? The cameraman, so Angle's angry. The cameraman goes, do you still respect AJ Styles? Yeah, I respect him. I respect him like a man, but he's done some unforgivable things. What? What does that even mean? I respect him like a man. But he's done some unforgivable things. So do you respect him? Do you, like him? If he was dying in a fire, would you do anything to save him? I wanted that cameraman to really push this line of questioning more. Dixie Carter then made an entrance. They hyped it as, like, this special announcement from Dixie Carter. And Dixie just walked out and was like, hey, TNA Hall of Fame inductee, we're gonna tell you Sunday. Peace! Yeah, they also promoted on this show, by the way, that Bound for Glory will be in San Diego, California. So I'll see you guys there. If you're coming, hit me up, let me know on the Twitter, the email, in the .NET members forum. We can all grab some beers and have some fun or something. But that should be cool. I got to go to Bound for Glory in 2009. I'm looking forward to going again. TNA pay-per-views, all, you know, they're good. Most of the time, so that'll be pretty sweet. Aces and Eights music again. Dixie's still in the ring. Garrett Bischoff, Doc, and Wes Briscoe come out, and they're intimidating her. Garrett Bischoff cut a not crappy promo. I repeat, that promo didn't suck. Garrett Bischoff, my man. Basically, just saying, what about Aces and Eights? You wish Sting luck? Oh, she wished Sting luck too. He was saying, like, what about our guy Bully Ray? What's going on? Why you gotta neglect us? And they were, you know, being the big guys and intimidating her. No one shoved their balls in her face, so we're not gonna have to hear about that controversy again, which deserved to be heard about, by the way. I'm not saying it didn't, but there were no balls in Dixie Carter's face. And they said, and so they're surrounding Dixie in the ring. It's getting weird. Magnus and Samoa Joe come out. The reunited best tag team in the last couple years of TNA, aside from Bad Influence. They run out, and I've got to say, I really hope that Samoa Joe and Magnus, after this Sunday, that they kind of start to rework them into the tag division. As much as, I mean, I think both men will probably be in the Bound for Glory series. And again, this year, I'm going to pitch it right here. People who have been listening for over a year know what I'm about to say. Magnus is your guy. I don't know, to win the Bound for Glory series, Magnus is your guy to make it to the finals and lose. And next year, you tell the story of Magnus getting so close, but not quite getting it, and how the Bound for Glory series means that much more. Magnus is your almost. And you build him up through that process. You know, make him look like a standout. He's this young stud. He made one mistake in that match, and it's haunted him for a year, and he's going to get it back. Sorry, I just have to pitch that on an annual basis, because that's how you create a star, instead of just relying on Sting to main eventing pay-per-views for you all the time, you dumbasses. Respect. That's what I should learn. So you have Magnus and Samoa Joe coming out. There's a little bit of a brawl. They make a challenge for a six-man at the pay-per-view with Doc West Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff taking on Magnus, Samoa Joe, and the returning Jeff Hardy. That didn't get a huge pop because I'm guessing the crowd would have been psyched to see him, but it's like, oh, cool, Jeff Hardy's going to be on that thing that we're not going to. You, TNA. And then, we had Joe challenging... Oh, sorry about that. That challenge happened later. First, we had a Garrett Bischoff versus Samoa Joe match. It's just a brawl. It ended in a no contest at 5:41 with a bunch of run-ins. There was a commercial in the middle. I think the match was just a way to get to the commercial break here. Solid storytelling there. In that brawl section, Joe hit a really dangerous looking dive to the outside. It was impressive. Scared me a little bit though. He looked like he landed on his head awkwardly, but by all accounts, he's fine. We didn't hear anything about injuries coming out of the tapings, any of that. So then Joe made the challenge. Jeff Hardy's going to come back. Joe, Hardy, and Magnus versus Doc, West Briscoe, and Garrett Bischoff. Should be cool. Fine use of Hardy there in his return. I don't love it. It definite. I still, taking Jeff Hardy out of the title picture the way they did was kind of weird, but it's chill. Video recap, James Storm becoming partners with Gunner. Backstage, Storm put over Gunner's military experience, and the way he did so was by saying, he's killed people. If he'll kill people for our country, he'll kill people for me. James Storm, have a seat real quick. You see, wrestling is supposed to be a simulated sport. And as a simulated sport, people probably shouldn't die. And if your idea is to recruit a tag team partner based on their ability to kill people for you, may I suggest a hitman? And not the hitman, no, he wouldn't set foot in TNA, he has a brain. I'm talking about a hitman, someone that kills people for money. If you've got the money for it, maybe you could find one where you could make a special, like, kill people for beer deal, because I know you have an overabundance of beer, and you could use a way to unload it and still accomplish your goals. As it is, I think that Gunner killing people is probably a mistake. Speaking of mistakes, there was also this... first of all, I don't... One thing that this segment did, and I'm probably being oversensitive here, it trivialized war. In a really weird way, where it's like, he's been to war, and we're going to go to war on Sunday. And I wanted to be like, whoa, 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 stop. Your wrestling match is not war in the same way that an actual war where men and women are killing each other in the streets and fighting with guns is a war. Please point out that there's a difference, someone, anyone. But TNA is just like, nah, he's right. He's right, it's a war. We're going with war. And it trivializes the entire concept of war. And it's part of this... it's kind of societal, but it's part of just this thing where it made me zone out of the match and zone out of the build to the match because I'm going like, they're not having an actual war on Sunday. It's not like they're going to break out guns and Bobby Roode's going to get shot. Like, no, they're going to have a wrestling match and hype it as a wrestling match. Talk about Gunner as a wrestler. James Storm, talk about yourself as a tag team specialist. Like, that's how you do it. And it's really strange to me that they decided, hey, we want to build up this reintroduction of Gunner. We're not going to talk about how big and bad he is and maybe give him a squash match. No. We're going to talk about how he killed people and how he's been to war and wrestling is like war. Dick move, TNA. Just a straight up dick move. Moving on beyond that dick move. Let's see, where are we? Hulk Hogan and Brooke Hogan backstage. Chris Shore for future reference. Brooke is spelt with an E at the end. Hulk Hogan and... Oh, by the way, I'm going off of Chris Shore's live coverage report as kind of an outline so I remember what the hell happened on this show. So if you guys want to check that out, follow along with me, prowrestling.net. It's in our must-read listing, and you should definitely check it out. Chris offers his insights as well, which I purposefully try not to read so I don't repeat them as my own opinions. Basically, Brooke, Hogan wanted to know, hey, Brooke, what went on last week? Why'd you pause all of a sudden when Bully said he still loved you? And Brooke Hogan was like, Daddy, he was my husband. He still is my husband. It's weird because the Hogans, and I feel like Hulk just does this. Like, I don't think it's the character. he talks in the same empty platitudes about serious real-life events that he does about wrestling matches. Like,
no, and we're gonna handle that.
I imagine them someday planning Brooke Hogan's wedding and going, we're gonna raise the bar on this wedding, brother. And actually meaning it. It's weird when empty platitudes become your actual mode of communication. But at the same time, it's entertaining for us as fans. So, bully to them. This, I think, was just a little bit of a... what's the word I want to use here? Foreshadowing, that's it. This was a little bit of foreshadowing for what I think is going to be a Brooke Hogan heel turn on Sunday. Don't quote me on it. It wouldn't shock me, but I also thought we'd see a Brooke Hogan heel turn in the Bully versus Jeff Hardy Full Metal Mayhem match. So, we'll see. Ring introductions for the 8-man tag then started after that. Bad Influence, Austin Aries, and Bobby Roode versus Chavo and Guerrero. And James Storm and Gunner. So babyfaces versus heels here. This was... it made Gunner look really good. You know, the end of the match was Gunner using the torture rack. Christopher Daniels submitted to it. I mean, Gunner looked really good. James Storm never got involved. All he had to do was dress for the match. Again, James Storm nursing an injury. And, you know, I'm sure he'll be able to do a little more on Sunday, but not much in that 4-man elimination tag team match. So, Bad Influence, Austin Aries, and Bobby Roode all on the losing side here. I really hope Bad Influence gets those titles back on Sunday. Backstage, Bully Ray demanded all of them bring him victims on Sunday, or any of them, even D-Von, could end up like D'Lo Brown did. So, basically, when you're picking matches, aces and eights, guys, let's get on it. Mickey James went to the ring, and we got a really good promo segment. Really good. With Mickey James coming out, celebrating her win, and, the cool thing about this, Mickey is, of course, on the way to a heel turn. Mickey's gonna get there, and this was a big, big step towards that heel turn. This was Mickey James just being a little too smiley, and, Velvet, can you come out? I love you, Velvet. We're such good friends. And basically just, you know, justifying her slightly underhanded actions in winning the Knockouts title and all that. Sorry about that, guys. That's my dog, Luna, who likes to guest on the podcast when people walk by outside the door. So I really hope you don't mind a dog barking in the background. If you're wondering, she's 9 pounds and looks like a teacup golden retriever. She's adorable. She's also named after Luna Lovegood from the Harry Potter films. Seriously, the cutest dog in the world. She's cute. I may put her as the album artwork for this podcast, just to be a little weird. Wonder if Jason would kill me for that. Nah. Maybe. Possibly. Sort of. Seven. Where was I? We got the nice segment between Velvet and Mickey, and then we got Gail Kim coming out, talking about her last Knockout Standing match with Taryn Terrell. Again, guys, I've been saying it, the best division in TNA right now is the Knockouts division, and one of the big reasons why they got this Mickey James thing going, her character's really taking off. They've got Gail Kim established as, like, this veteran woman, this Bret Hart-esque presence. Again, Canadian, uses the figure four around the ring post, says she's the best ever. She's Bret Hart. And then you had Gail Kim basically saying, after my last Knockout Standing match, I'm coming after the Knockout title, and I'm coming after you, Mickey. Mickey James kind of said, no, please. Or, you know, just kind of did her thing. Then Gail Kim attacked Velvet Sky, tried to do the figure four around the ring post, but Taryn Terrell came out, ran off Gail Kim, and that led to our next match, Kenny King and Gail Kim versus Chris Sabin and Taryn Terrell in a mixed tag match. This was standard mixed tag rules, girls fight girls, boys fight boys. Those rules are always kind of weird to me. And this match ended, it was basically, the girls are going to brawl the way they do, Taryn Terrell looked good here, and the boys are going to high-fly the way that they do, and King and Sabin look fine. The match win with Sabin hitting the Hail Sabin on Kenny King to get the pin. Chris Sabin and Taryn Terrell win the match in 4:59. Cool. Works for me. After the match, Sabin talked about winning the X Division title on Sunday. Kenny King attacked him from behind. He was beating him down, then Suicide ran out and made the save. Picked up the title, and he and Sabin stared down. Ultimate X should be cool. One of the reasons to order this pay-per-view will be that Ultimate X match. It hasn't been well built. The story going in has lended itself more towards a straight-up one-on-one match between King and Saban. That's for sure. But, man, Ultimate X is spectacular. If you haven't seen the concept, I think that King, Saban, and Suicide, who's currently being played by TJ Perkins, I think that they're going to do it upright. It's not going to be a weak match. Hopefully, the early Ultimate X matches got a lot of time most of the time, and they were really, really exceptional. If you don't love TNA, if you're not into the history, look up some of their old Ultimate X stuff online, especially some of the AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels stuff. Fantastic, and hopefully they can bring that spirit of Ultimate X back here. So this is where we got the video package then, highlighting all the different guys that Sting has beaten for a world championship, and then they showed, they ran down the pay-per-view card, and for some reason in the graphic for the six-man tag match, the, Doc, Briscoe, and Bischoff versus Magnus, Joe, and Hardy six-man, they showed Anderson instead of Doc. And that was weird because you're like, but you said Doc on the show and TNA, you got a week to edit this and get it, over to Spike TV to broadcast. You have more than enough time to do some quality control. And I'm more forgiving of errors like that on a live broadcast because, man, crap happens. You're sitting there, graphics department didn't get it in time. You just run with what you got and you say, and in a substitution or whatever. But no, not even a word said about it because it's not like TNA and all. Kennelly and Taz were looking at the graphics. They were saying it in the graphics were added in later. Also an issue. Just strange stuff. So then we had Anderson coming out. AJ Styles attacked him before he could get his jacket off. Anderson versus AJ Styles was our main event on this show. This was a 13-minute and 51-second match to lead to a big brawl. That was the goal. Kurt Angle came in, caused a non-finish. Aces and Eights ran out. Magnus, Park, and Sting ran out. And Joe, Angle and Styles separated themselves, battled to the back. The gang rumbled with the baby faces. And we ended up getting a 3D on, well, first we got a showdown between Sing and Bully Ray again. Sing put Ray in the Scorpion. That didn't last long. D-Von hit the attack. They got the 3D on Sting. And the whole gang posed over Sting to close the show. Aces and Eights closing the show up on top. Classic go-home. Like I said, this was a maintenance show. Hey, let's keep that heat on Aces and Eights. Done. Hey, let's Angle and Styles. Let's have them fight again because we've been doing that. Done. Same thing with Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell. Done. X Division knockouts match and the X Division title match. Let's just get them on the show. Done. Tag team title match. The eight-man tag is pretty basic. Done. Also, TNA now has four tag teams in their tag team division. Kudos. Maybe pretty soon you'll have more. That would be cool. Again, Samoa Joe and Magnus, who, again, Samoa Joe's theme music, I swear, says Samoa Joe and Magnus. Samoa Joe and Magnus. So it's just natural that they should still be a tag team. Yeah. Fine go-home show. Nothing mind-blowingly spectacular. Nothing that made me go, I gotta order it now. But enough that made me go, huh, Sunday's gonna be pretty cool. I'll watch that. So, I don't know what TNA does buy rate-wise, but I'm looking more for quality than buy rates most of the time anyway, so let's just hope it's a good show. And now let's get into the predictions for this mother, because it's go-home week, y'all. It's the go-home week. Go-home week. I'm going to work from the bottom up. Gut check tournament final. Jay Bradley versus Sam Shaw. The winner gets a spot in the Bound for Glory series. I think Jay Bradley wins it. I think he's a heel, and I think they try to build him as a new star through this Bound for Glory series. I don't think it's going to be a great build, but I still think he does it. Knockouts match. Apparently, the Knockouts title match did not get added to this card, despite the fact that they teased it for it, which was weird. But a Knockouts match, last Knockout standing, Gail Kim versus Taryn Terrell. I think Taryn Terrell wins this one, goes on to eventually feud with the heel Mickie James for the Knockouts Championship. Maybe you put Taryn Terrell over Tara at some point before that, too. Keep Taryn in there with girls that can work well around her. and you're going to build her into a star, and eventually she's going to learn to work. So, or work better. I liked her as ECW general manager, Tiffany. I was a big fan of Tiffany back in the day, so I'm fine with this. The hot mess, Taryn Terrell, with the most apt nickname I've heard in wrestling in a long, long time. Ultimate X, it's for the X Division Championship. Suicide versus Kenny King versus Chris Sabin. This is a tough one. I think they're going to keep Bully Ray as champion. And last week, they teased that the X Division champion is still going to get a chance at the world title if they want it. So I think this is, if they're going to keep the world title on Bully Ray, I think this is when you pull that trigger and you put the X Division title on Chris Sabin. Because Chris Sabin then can go to a match against Bully Ray, look impressive, barely lose the match, and you've made a star out of Chris Sabin, and you can elevate him up. At the same time, he's given up the X Division title, so that drops back down to them, and then you've got Chris Sabin in that main event standing. Again, this is a way to create a star. It's the same thing I said about Austin Aries last year. You do this, he doesn't win the match, he gets so close, and the heel has to cheat, the heel has to do something. But yeah, I think Sabin and Bully, they work together a ton in Team 3D versus Motor City Machine Guns for all those years, and I think that they could put together a really good singles match. Bully's quick enough, deceptively quick almost, that he can keep up with Sabin's offense and sell it. Sabin is so good at selling and so great at that part of his game that he's going to make Bully Ray look like $1 million. So I think that's definitely one to watch out for down the line. So Chris Sabin wins that match. Television Championship, Joseph Park versus D-Von of Aces and Eights. Keep that belt on D-Von, I think, unless Joseph Park gets busted open. Ah, this is actually a tough one. Come on, it's a little red toy belt. Who cares? I'll say D-Von and lose my shirt in V-Bookie when I put $1 million V-Bookie dollars on it. Jeff Hardy returns in a six-man tag. Let's see what the website has as the graphic. Website's showing Anderson. It says the Aces and Eights. Last night they said Doc. Weird. So I'm going to go with Doc, Briscoe, and Bischoff versus Jeff Hardy, Magnus, and Samoa Joe. I think Jeff Hardy, Magnus, and Samoa Joe definitely win this match. It's Jeff Hardy's return. Look for him. I could see Samoa Joe snap. You know, you get Wes Briscoe in there. Samoa Joe's big snapmare. Magnus's elbow. Or, you know, Samoa Joe's big kick into a snapmare. Magnus's elbow. And then tag in Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy, Swanton, uno, dos, tres. And maybe you get a Samoa Joe dive through the ropes on the other two Aces and Eights members in there, too. Should be cool. Four-team elimination for the Tag Team Championships. Mexican America 2.0 versus The Bad Influence versus The Dirty Heels versus Team Douche Beer. I said in the forum, in our .net member forum, someone said that they should be called Beard Money, but I pointed out that Robert Roode was actually the money portion of Beer Money, so this would be this would have to be Beer something, and I suggested Douche because Gunner looks like one in his jeans. Seriously, who comes back in... Okay, I'm sorry. If you're out there listening to this on your iPod and you're wearing dark jeans with bright white stitching, but you kind of look like a D-bag. And I want to be the one to tell you because I care about you, man. And I want you to look good. I want the girls to see you and be like, man, that guy's not a dick. That's what I want for you. So I'm trying to help you here. I'm sorry if it comes off harsh. It's just kind of the person I am sometimes. I just got to let you know. So yeah, that match, I've been picking it for a while. I think Daniels and Kazarian win the tag team titles again here. They need to get them off of Chavo and Hernandez, who are having good matches, but are not compelling characters. I think Austin Aries and Bobby Roode are set to make a return to the singles division, especially with the Bound for Glory series coming up. I feel the same way about James Storm and Gunner. I think they've got Bound for Glory series written all over them. Chavo will probably be in the Bound for Glory series as well. I don't think you put Hernandez in it this year. Daniels, and don't get me wrong, I could see both Daniels and Kazarian in the BFGS too. But I would be fine with them sitting out of it in order to be the tag team the world tag team champions of the world once again. AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle. One more time, so many more times, I'm sure. But this is the new Dark AJ. It's Styles versus Angle. You know what? I'm going to go with Styles here. I don't think it's time for Dark AJ to lose. I think it's time for him to maybe cheat a little bit. But right now, I'm liking the Venom version of AJ Styles a lot more than I liked Venom in Spider-Man 3. So let's go with that. AJ Styles, maybe he'll straighten his hair a little more or something, just like Tobey Maguire did, and it'll be fine. That should be a really good match, by the way. Especially, AJ has shown in his few matches, he's actually taken the time to learn how to not work like high-flying AJ Styles, and is taking Dark AJ Styles seriously. And if he does that in this match, and he and Angle are able to put on a wrestling clinic with a couple of the old AJ Styles spots, but not going crazy with it, I think you're going to see a really, really good match. And finally, World Heavyweight Championship, the Icon Sting versus the Bully Ray, the president of Aces and Eights, the World Heavyweight Champion. If Sting loses, never gets another world title shot ever again. This is Sting's last world title shot, people, because Bully Ray is going to win that match. Go on, I think, to face Chris Sabin for a month or two on Impact, and it should be really good and entertaining and fantastic. And high five to you, everybody in TNA. I think this is definitely Bully Ray's match to win. I could see them wanting to have the big moment for Sting, but I just don't think they should. So Bully Ray wins this one, and it should be good. The thing about this card, when you look at it, Gut Check Tournament, it has the story of the tournament, and there are stakes, which is nice. Knockouts match, there's a story there. Ultimate X, they built up a story going in. TV Championship, they built a story. Jeff Hardy's return in that six-man classic TNA versus Aces and Eights style stuff, but there's still a story there. The tag team elimination match, they've done well to tell some intricate stories throughout the tag team division over the last few months, and I think it'll pay off here. AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle, there's a story. Sting versus Bully Ray, there's a story beyond the world title. With Sting having led Hogan to trust Bully Ray and all that. So, ultimately, every match on this card has something big at stake, has a story, has a meaning. There's not a match on this show right now that feels tacked on. If anything, the six-man tag does, but even that, hell, they've built up Magnus and Samoa Joe being against Aces and Eights. They've both been taken out by him in the past couple months. They both have reasons to get revenge. Jeff Hardy's coming back again, has a reason to get revenge. So there is a story there. Solid work, TNA. Solid work building up this pay-per-view. You had three months to do it, and you've done well. So it gives me hope. I think the TNA storytelling, it's going to need to shift a little bit going into the next month, because next month you have the Bound for Glory series starting, which can turn into just a bunch of singles matches on TV, and I think you want it to be a little more than that. But it'll be interesting. I have confidence that they can make it something good. So kudos to you, TNA. Good show. Good go home. And good golly, I should get out of here, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access podcast. Like I said, membership. Get that membership. Get yourself some ProWrestling.net membership. Check out Chris Shore and Jason Powell's audio on Slammiversary on the ad-free version of the site while talking to people in the forum. I mean, guys, it doesn't get better than that as far as wrestling coverage goes. Thank you so much, and have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy your Slammiversary weekend. However you celebrate Slammiversary, that's up to you. Personally, I'll probably come home from work, drink a beer, and watch a pay-per-view. So that's my plan. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week, guys.